You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area's talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
Over the past decade, our conversations about mental health, about how we process trauma and grief and isolation, have evolved. Now, these are conversations that we have more regularly, at home, at our workplaces, among friends. Traditionally, though, when we think of all this, we are probably applying it to adults. But trauma, of any kind, can happen to anyone. And the mental health struggles that can occur aren't just limited to those 20-something and up. Here's Dr. Christine Moutier with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Our U.S. Surgeon General declared youth mental health in a state of emergency, essentially, and that was in the early part of the pandemic. The crisis that we're in, and I'm calling it a crisis from a public health standpoint, just because of the prevalence and the level of suffering that is going on and the availability of resources. But he declared it a state of emergency while mental health experiences and suicide rates had been going up for a number of years before the pandemic began. But of course, it was then kind of brought to a head with everyone really becoming much more aware, more willing to talk about it, with all of the changes going on with schools, with the social structure of how kids grow up and develop, how our brains develop in that stage of life. Everything was kind of upended. And my own view is that mental health and suicide are very complex aspects of human health. And for children and youth, that's no different. But because they're developing, it can show up in some different ways that I think we as a society, there's just a lot of room for putting into action what we're now talking about more and more. We understand that mental health is real. It's as important as physical health. But what does that look like when a child begins to kind of fall off their developmental trajectory in terms of their physical and mental health growth? So that's how I like to look at it with kids, is they're on a trajectory of growth and change. And that maybe is partly what makes it a little more challenging for us as parents and teachers and coaches.
So if you're a kid and you need a safe space to grieve, to share, to heal, where do you go? Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. There is a place tailor-made for younger people, a place that can give them support when dealing with any kind of loss, and it's called Comfort Zone Camp. Len Hughes, founder and CEO of Comfort Zone Camp, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with the camp itself. Tell us what Comfort Zone Camp is and why it's something that you started.
Sure. Comfort Zone Camp is a national nonprofit bereavement camp for kids 17 to 18 who've experienced the death of a close loved one. We also have some programs for young adults and some parents. And it was started back, it was kind of for me, your personal life and your professional life intersecting. And while it all seemed random, then you're like, wow, maybe I was in training to do this all along type of thing. That my parents died when I was young, not together. My mom died when I was 9 from a blood clot in her leg. And my dad died 2.5 years later from a massive heart attack when I was 12. So fluky, weird, almost never happens, but happened to me. And I went to summer camp afterwards, loved it. It was a magical place where I could get back to being a kid again, step outside of my loss. And I also felt like the death of my parents happened for a reason, and I didn't know what that meant. And then years later, I met my husband as when we were camp counselors together, and just shared a love for kids in summer camp. And I was still aware many years later, there still weren't any resources for grieving kids. And you're doing well if you acted like it didn't happen to you and put on that mask that made other people more comfortable. And so we decided to create a resource, let kids go to a camp and in that kind of fun environment, let them get back to being a kid again, but also weave in some opportunities for them to share their story and realize they're not alone. And Comfort Zone Camp was born. And that was 25 years ago as an organization. And then we've been doing camps for 24 years.
You know, this is something I've been thinking about a lot of in the lead up to our conversation, is that traditionally so much conversation about trauma, about grief, about mental health tends to always be about adults, but you know, these are things that affect everyone, and young people are definitely a part of that conversation. And that seems to be something that you recognized a need for.
Yeah, absolutely. If I brought up my loss to people, whether they were my peers, but also to adults, they look so visibly uncomfortable that I'd end up comforting them and saying, I'm okay. Are you okay? You clearly don't look too comfortable with my loss. And so you get that message early on. People aren't comfortable hearing about it. And then adults often expect kids to it to mirror adult grief. So they expect them to wear black and mourn 24/7 and be sad all the time. But that's not how kids grieve. They grieve and get sad in short bursts, but they're able to still compartmentalize it and do other things. So again, it gets dismissed and overlooked because it's so misunderstood.
That's also probably something that a lot of people, young or otherwise, don't think about, is that it's good to have a space where you can grieve. It's good to have a space where you can feel these big feelings, but it's also good to have a space where you can release those things in a way that might be, you know, even joyful, or to just experience some happiness in the midst of what you're working through. Is that what your camps offer? That's how it seems.
It's a great assessment. I mean, you almost think that grief and camp are an oxymoron. Like, how could they go together? But they mix together beautifully, and it mirrors how kids grieve. So we have that mindless wear them out, typical camp fun with, you know, arts and crafts and repeat after me and s'mores and all that. And then we also have the space in support groups that are sprinkled in throughout the weekend where kids can tell their stories or talk about feelings and emotions or talk about anticipating upcoming events. And they get validated by other kids who lean in and say, me too, or don't worry, it gets easier. So it gives them a community that they can tap into again and again, because we let kids repeat and come annually. And it's just an amazing, the whole exchange of doing the laughter and the mindless fun together, and then doing the deeper dive into feelings and emotions. All of that just puts together this beautiful recipe for kids to blossom and grow and heal.
Yeah, this is something that I've heard a lot of in conversations that I've had with mental health professionals or with those who, you know, help others deal with grief or isolation or any of these things, is that you're meeting people where they need to be met, right?
That's exactly right. That we talk about, we see the potential, we see kids where they are, and we see for them the potential to get move forward in their journey, but it's really up to them. And you want to meet that where they are and support them where they are, but yet give them the possibility to be okay and the possibility to grow and even be happy again, but to walk with them where they are.
KCBS's In Depth will be right back. A Comfort Zone Camp has been around for a while now, but it's also you know, had to evolve, as all things do, especially when we are dealing with mental health struggles or, you know, just forming community in whatever way that looks. So how has the camp evolved over time? Because I know at this point you do offer camps or services that help people deal with loss by suicide.
That's right. We started off for all loss types, and then over the years saw a need, and back in 2015 started holding one camp specifically for suicide loss. And our other camps all have different loss types, including suicide, but we've kind of seen this slow and steady increase. And so we do one camp a year exclusively for that. And we saw a 30% increase in the need of and how many losses of kids were applying from suicide loss. And then the actual camp itself doubled in size from 2022 to 2023. So we know that the need is out there, and that there's something special about bringing kids together that even had the exact same type of loss, and especially breaking the stigma of suicide loss and really letting them turbo bond and meet others who've had a loss by suicide is really, really special.
You've said kind of on this bigger level, you know, what the camp offers, what that space offers to young people. But specifically, and especially on the mental health side of things, what can a young person get at Comfort Zone Camp? And, you know, are there other things offered when it is a camp that is dealing with loss by suicide?
So the program itself mirrors the same as our other camps in terms of if it mirrors how kids grieve, with doing some mindless warm-up fun and then doing some intentional grief time and then backing it up with a big chunk of mindless warm-up fun. So it mirrors that tempo of how kids grieve, but the talking is different. What we're trying to achieve during the small support groups, we have the same kids. They're broken down by age in the healing circles, which are our support groups, and they meet four times. So not only are they given the opportunity to tell their story and maybe tell their full story, they might not feel amongst others that they can kind of tell their full story. And sometimes they're even the only ones in their family who know the actual death, and they're keeping the secret because their siblings haven't been told. So it's very freeing for them to do that. But then we're also really trying to talk about to validate they're breaking that shame and that stigma associated with it, giving them the opportunity to talk about that feeling of woulda, shoulda, coulda. Oh, if only I had done X. Spending a lot of time on guilt and how to let go of guilt, and especially guilt that's kind of unfair. And, you know, most guilt is not reasonable. So how to give themselves permission to let that go. Also really trying to help them to not focus on the last 5 minutes of how their loved one died, and that doesn't define an a loved one's lifetime, that they were more than the last 5 minutes of their life. And also really trying to how to distill it in the appropriate kid language of the why, right? You know, a lot of times they mistakenly draw the conclusion that their loved one left them, or maybe something was wrong with them, or that they didn't love them enough. And so really helping them to understand, again, language appropriate depending on the camper's age. But, you know, in a person's brain who's just suffering with depression, that A plus B is not going to C. A plus B goes to C in a healthy brain. But in somebody's brain that's dealing with severe depression, the wiring gets off and A plus B is firing off to Q. And in a healthy person's brain, we're never going to understand Q. So kind of helping that to normalize that and to make some peace with that. And that in this lifetime, we're not ever going to be able to fully understand the why. And that it's okay if they're confused, that, you know, their loved ones are confused. And even, you know, the adults and other people in their life, you know, it's okay if they're confused. So just kind of validating all that uniqueness that comes along with suicide loss.
You know, it really is important hearing what you just said there, because, you know, it's such a valuable guidance. And really is this removing of a burden off of the shoulders of these younger people. And that's such a vital thing to do in moments of grief and of trauma and of sadness. And that's what Comfort Zone Camp is creating a space for.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we want to give them tools to navigate their grief journey and help them to understand, obviously, some of the bigger moments, the more obvious moments, the anniversaries and birthdays, holidays, and so forth. But also sometimes every day, that grief is kind of a tricky thing and the waves of it are not planned or expected. So what tools can they put in their toolkit that they can take away from camp to help them in those tough days? And that's really, really the aim. And to let them know that despite this really unfair, tough thing that happened to them in their childhood, that they can be okay and they can even lead a happy life. However, it is a choice. It's not going to be handed to them, that it's a choice to survive it. It's a choice to be okay. And it's a choice to be happy. And we really walk them, kind of like let them know that that possibility is there, but that it is a choice, but it's theirs if they want to do the work. And it is grief work and it is a grief journey.
Well, as someone who has been doing this for a long time, for 25 years at this camp, what is it like to see a kid come to a camp and to be able to witness that metamorphosis? What is that like, seeing them from the start and then seeing them by the time their time at camp comes to an end?
It is such a beautiful thing to watch. You see them hesitant to come and they're nervous, like, they think it's going to be depressing and who wants to go to death camp, so to speak. And so you see them, get there and then you see them slowly like, oh my gosh, there's laughter. This is going to be okay. And then they get in a healing circle and they say, my dad by suicide. And, I'm the only one in my class. And somebody else leans in and says, me too. It gets easier. And that's just, it's goosebumps. I mean, it's just, you see pieces of healing start to happen. And that energy exchange of somebody telling their story. And I believe every time you tell your story, you heal. And every time you hear somebody else's story and you get validated by listening, that a piece of you heals. So that energy exchange that happens throughout the weekend is just incredible. And you see them taking safe risks, and we give them pins. We have different themes for each camp, and we give them a pin that they can wear, that somebody gives to them every time they see a wow moment or they see them taking a safe risk. So maybe they're telling their story for the first time, or they're comforting somebody else, or they're trying the climbing wall for the first time. So what they keep getting empowered throughout the weekend. And then at the end of the weekend, we have a closing service and the parents and guardians are invited back. And often the child who comes really hesitantly or even under bribery, that they're up there singing a song to their sister who died a cappella, or they're telling, mom's favorite stories, or, and the parent or guardians in the audience just blown away going, oh my gosh, like what happened? This is a different kid. They are lighter. They're brighter. Their eyes look clearer. They don't look like they're carrying around a backpack full of rocks. They don't look so burdened. So the process is just, it's magical. And it's so rewarding and so humbling that, my passion and mission has become other people's. And a really cool outgrowth is, having done this so long, is now a third of our volunteers are former campers.
And that's such a good thing. Hearing that people can take what they've learned being at this camp and turn it around and sort of pay it forward. And you mentioned, the things that are done, so that healing can come. And, obviously that can come from sharing your own personal story, but it can come from being there when someone else is sharing their story or what they're going through. And it sounds like being a part of the Comfort Zone Camp, it continues your own healing.
Oh, a piece of me heals every time I'm in a healing circle or interacting with the kid, or I see them, that transformation during the weekend. So yeah, it's just so, it's so amazing, the gifts that have come from my own personal loss that I never knew would come my way. I mean, still keep coming because I did the work and because I made the choice to work on being okay and even happy.
As you've said during our conversation, this is so much, this is work that you've put your whole life into. And I think with all of that knowledge and those experiences and all that you have been able to witness and be a part of with Comfort Zone Camp, you know, what has worked for you personally when it comes to dealing with grief and loss and all these things? And what would you say to young people who are dealing with that now? What's your message to pass on?
A great question. So everybody struggles with the why loss or why adversity happened to them, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child. So for me as a child, I truly believed that my losses happened to me for a reason and I was supposed to use my life in some way. And that's just something that came to me as young as 9 years old and kind of like stayed with me, that I felt like I had this purpose. I didn't know what it meant. And in fact, sometimes it was a burden. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm in college and I was like, what major is use your life to make a difference? And of course, there isn't one. So, but I never like let go of that feeling, like look for ways, you know, to do something with your life and have your, you know, make a difference. And then tying it into, that loving summer camp and tying that into realizing that there just was an unmet need in society, that the needle hadn't really changed in a long time of people being aware of kids grieving and needing support. So that's what was really, I guess, important to me. And then my personal mantra that I've kind of seen over and over again is that there's always something good from something bad. And you just have to look for it. And so anytime something bad comes now, I almost, you know, not that I embrace it, but I can kind of pull it up from my heart to my head and be like, okay, you're going to get through this. And eventually, you know, that some gift will appear of this, that there will be some blessing that you didn't see coming. So I really try to instill that in the kids that, you know, that there can be something good out of something bad. You know, maybe it's just even coming to camp and making new friends that you didn't know you would have, or, you know, maybe you were in this new classroom or you had to move, but then you met your childhood best friend, or, you know, that there will be something good from something bad. You just have to look at it. Maybe you appreciate your loved ones more, or you tell people that you love them, or, you know, you just see the world with a different lens, which can be a gift. So there's always something good from something bad.
I think that's a very positive outlook to have, and one that can give support internally in times of real loss and trouble. We've seen how the camp has evolved. You told me a little bit about, you know, what is offered now compared, you know, how it's grown over time. What's next for Comfort Zone Camp?
Well, we are also doing a camp for the first time, and I think it might be one of the first of its kind in the country. We'll do a camp specifically for overdose loss. So sadly, loss by overdose is also on the rise, and we just have seen a really huge spike, over 30% in that as well, from 2022 to 2023 in our camper population. You know, there's a stigma that comes along with that. It's different than suicide, but there's also some similarities, and so we're looking forward to helping that population of kids as well. And then just nationally, we know that the need is growing on grieving kids between suicide loss, overdose loss, COVID, the mental health crisis. There's just more loss that's happening. So we know we need to do more and need to get the word out. And we want Comfort Zone to be a household name and to be, we still are offering virtual camps and virtual programs. We did that during COVID, and we're still doing that to kind of meet kids where we, in case we aren't there geographically, or they can test drive us by trying out, you know, a virtual camp before they commit to a weekend sleepover. So we just know we need to do more.
Again, it's Comfort Zone Camp is about meeting these young people where they need to be met.
Sure. So the goal of Comfort Zone Camp is to break kids' isolation and let them get back to being kids again, and then giving them tools to help in their everyday grief journey. Most kids are the only ones in their class and often in their schools who've experienced a death of a parent or sibling or close friend or loved one. So we want to break that isolation, have them opportunity to let them know they're not alone and gain a community of people that they can tap into over and over again. We do every child who comes is paired with their own adult volunteer mentor. So we are always in need of volunteers. They don't necessarily have to have had a loss to be a wonderful volunteer, but somebody who's got just a willingness to learn and help help put a child on a grieving child's face for the weekend. And then everything we do is at no cost. So we are, any donation is appreciated. We don't want cost to be a barrier for kids. You get them to camp and you put on this, I'll put on the same grief comfort zone camp t-shirt. And, you know, grief is a great equalizer. Death is a great equalizer. So yes, we need awareness. We need more always campers, volunteers, and donations appreciated.
Lynn Hughes, founder and CEO of Comfort Zone Camp. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Even though Comfort Zone Camp is based in Virginia, they do have events around the country. In California as well. Lynn mentioned to me off air that they hold regular camp events in Sonoma County. This year's one was in August. And they hold events in Southern California too. If you know of a young person who is suffering from the loss of a loved one, or if you want to volunteer yourself or make a donation, you can go to comfortzonecamp.org. to find out more. You can find this episode and past episodes of In Depth online at kcbsradio.com. Just check the podcast tab and look for KCBS In Depth. You can also hear the episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. Thanks for listening. For KCBS and In Depth, I'm Mary Hughes.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.